All right, we're going to get started. We're going to first do a roll call.
Chairperson Simon.
Here.
Commissioner Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Chang.
Here.
Commissioner Clancy is absent. Commissioner McLean.
Here.
Commissioner Roberts is absent. And Commissioner Vizi.
Here.
All right, great. We're going to get started. First of all, welcome to those that have joined the meeting. We're going to roll right into public comment about, public comment could be about anything, but one of the topics that we're talking about today is what did we officially titled as? Looking at it. It's an ordinance regarding single-use plastic in places of eating. So how do we organize?
So I can say a few words here. Good evening. Thank you for taking time to join us tonight to discuss the ordinance to regulate single-use foodware in River Forest. Just to give some context, this was inspired by an initiative through Planet Green, and it's modeled after what the City of Chicago adopted last summer, which was written with the business community in mind. So briefly, this ordinance would require that places for eating hand out single-use foodware for takeout and delivery orders at the customer's request, meaning the customer would opt in to receive them. So the purpose of the ordinance is to reduce the unnecessary generation of waste without overly burdening the restaurant community. So we can go ahead and take some public comment. We do have Phyllis in the room here, and then a couple of people on Zoom as well. We're happy to address any questions you may have. We just ask that you state your name and address if you're a resident, or if you're representing a business, just which business you're representing. Yeah, go ahead.
But it's a nice day, so I'll walk over. I am Phyllis Rubin. I live at 411 Ashland Avenue, 6B in River Forest, obviously. I'm a 7-year resident of River Forest, not too long, but I was a neighbor before, and I'm a member of the Interface Green Network and a founding member of Go Plastic Free, a group that was formed summer of 2019 as part of Plastic Free July. These two organizations work to educate ourselves and our communities to act more sustainably and to think 7 generations ahead to what is needed to protect our environment for children, grandchildren, their grandchildren, and their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I'm sure you know we are not doing very well on that score, nor are we doing it fast enough. We totally support working to eliminate or, in the very least, significantly controlling single-use plastics. So thank you for doing this. All the plastic that's ever been produced is still with us. Plastic is everywhere, and it does not biodegrade. I know I'm talking to the choir. It is easy, cheap, and convenient, but it is not at all cheap if we include its effects on the environment, on climate, and the known and unknown effects of us ingesting it. We do. This proposed ordinance is definitely a step in the right direction. Interfaith Green Network and Go Plastic Free, and I, as a River Forest resident, totally support it. But honestly, we have to move as fast as we possibly can in the right direction, like take a big step. Because our planet is warming, areas of the globe are becoming uninhabitable due to climate change, and the production and throwaway use of plastic is a major factor. So we commend you for creating this ordinance and absolutely do require that single-use plastics only be given out upon request. But we wish you had gone further. We want you to also ban it at drive-up windows. Exempting them isn't a big enough step. Why exempt them? Why exempt them? We also want you to include straws in your request category. And styrofoam, the most toxic form of plastic, should totally be banned. Styrofoam is toxic when produced and toxic when recycled. We want that out of production. Along with this ordinance could come education of our residents so that they bring with them to the drive-up window their own reusable utensils, which is in my purse. Sorry, I don't. I'm just going to show it to you. And they take to the restaurant reusable take-home containers, or don't forget to take these. So on Mother's Day, I asked for tin foil to wrap up the food, which is easy for restaurants to have available and to have. Foil is recyclable, so education of the restaurants is needed as well. We realize you have gotten buy-in from our food establishments on this ordinance, which is really great, very smart. Maybe you tried for some of the things I'm asking for and have had to settle for this. The thing is, we have to do all we can, all we possibly can, to save as much of our world as we can, because we're not going to save it all. As good as this ordinance is, we can do better. Thank you for it. Please make it stronger. Take the big step.
Thank you so much. Okay, on Zoom, if there's any public comments, go ahead and please speak up.
Hi, I'm Cassie Balk, and I live at 1105 Forest in River Forest, and I also was very pleased to read in the Wednesday Journal that you were taking this step. I had the same question about why weren't straws listed as a single-use plastic. I'm with the League of Women Voters in Oak Park River Forest, and in 2019, we worked with the EEC in Oak Park and went to all the restaurants, and there was huge success with them only doing on request, not giving straws, which, and that all went down the tubes during COVID. So I really don't have much more to say than what the previous person just said. I wish we could do more. I know it's hard, and I applaud you for taking this step. One more question is there going to be any requirement for Juul to stop using so many plastic bags and at least charge for them like they do in Chicago and in Oak Park? Okay, thank you for listening.
Thank you, Kathy. So just real quickly, because you asked a great question about plastic bags. First of all, to take a full step back, I think this entire commission, trying to speak for the entire commission, we know that we have to go further. And so the incremental approach is probably frustrating to all of us, but it's also a very pragmatic and good way to get things done. Plastic bags is complicated, and I can't fully explain this, but Sarah can help. We cannot levy a fee on plastic bags because of the way our government is set up, which is a non-home rule government. And because of that, we cannot tax plastic bags, which is why we have not tackled that one yet. It's certainly on our list to try to come up with ways to tackle plastic bags. Straws has been mentioned. Was there a reason straws wasn't on the or we just copied the Chicago one?
It's just similar to the Chicago one.
But that is an easy one. Straws, like they stopped several of the restaurants in Oak Park, would only give them out. We know there's some people who have to have them. So it can be a request, just like the spoons and forks and stuff, right?
I would think so. So, that's something we're going to kind of add to our list to discuss, and perhaps add it to what we're going to send to the Board of Trustees. So that's good feedback on the straws thing. I can't fully explain why the Chicago ordinance exempted straws, except that my guess on that is that they're really trying to reduce stress on the restaurant industry, which has gone through it's hard to be in the restaurant business anytime, but obviously over the pandemic, it's a really rough time. So I think Chicago was trying to be, sensitive to the fact that, you know, you can only ask these businesses to manage so much, but we will consider that.
Thank you.
And can I make one more comment on the plastic bags? Hi, I'm sorry, I'm not, my name is Susan Stratt. I'm one of the commissioners. Sorry, I'm not showing my face. So in just doing a little bit of research for this meeting, I did see that the only way we could, you know, impose a tax in River Forest would be if the state did it. And there was a bill that was making its way through the state legislature. I believe it's dead, but ultimately the lead on that was Don Harmon, who is now our representative. So I think it was put on hold because of the pandemic. But, you know, I think if there was increased interest and calls to our representative, that could be revived. And that would be the way around the non-home rule.
Other public comments?
Hey, Dan.
Hi, Daniel Lauber, 7215 Oak. First, I hope by now you have realized how incredibly lucky and fortunate you are to have Sarah as your staff person. We had her with the age-friendly committee, and she was just remarkable. Second, thank you for putting forth this ordinance. It's a very timely and needed ordinance. What I'm going to do is suggest a couple of minor drafting refinements and then a couple of substantive concerns. One, from reading the ordinance, it's clear it shouldn't be called, the name isn't right. It's regarding single-use plastics. I would suggest you change the word plastics to foodware so it's consistent with the substance of the ordinance. And I should tell you, I've written thousands of pages of zoning ordinance amendments over my career, so I'm familiar with this stuff. And also the need to have ordinances be really easy to read. So in amendment 2, item 2, exceptions, the section shall apply not only to, I would change, it says served at an average temperature in excess of 170 degrees Fahrenheit. I would change that to greater than 170 degrees Fahrenheit. That's just sloppy, lazy drafting, which is typical of the city of Chicago. I've done work for the city of Chicago, and believe me, they get lazy. Third, in the paragraph at the top of page 3 of the ordinance, single-use foodware, I would suggest at the very, towards the end, where it says, does not include straws, I would change that and strongly suggest you change that to paper straws. So this ordinance would apply to plastic straws, which are the environmental issue. Paper straws are readily available. Restaurants in the area are already using them. I've looked up the pricing. It's not exorbitant at all. It's very affordable. And if you change the exclusion to paper straws, that would leave plastic straws as covered by the ordinance. And they again, and I will freely admit, one of our grandchildren has shamed us into bringing our own metal straws with us when we go out to eat in places like Starship Submarine. On page 4, I too was quite troubled by the exclusion of drive-through facilities. This is a loophole big enough to drive a semi-trailer through. I can understand why Chicago did it. It was political. We don't have to follow machine politics in Chicago. We can do thinking politics. And this, I suspect that the drive-through facilities are the major source. I know this in part because we live next door to McDonald's on Harlem. And we get a lot of their waste. And a lot of it's plastic utensils. But I also know that we hear them taking orders occasionally. You know, sometimes we have the windows open. And it would not be difficult at all for the staff to ask a customer at the drive-through if they would like utensils or not. Because a lot of people are driving home with their food. They're not going to eat it on the road. And, you know, I would think any restaurant or business serving food would like this ordinance because it's going to reduce their costs and enhance their profits, pure and simple. And this would help McDonald's. And again, it's no difficult. There's no difficulty for their staff to simply ask someone. It will not slow down the speed of their drive-through lanes. Finally, Section 7, this would go into effect immediately. I would encourage you very strongly to set this to go into effect 60 or 90 days after adoption by the village board, and use that time to educate both the businesses and the public about this, as well as giving the village manager time to put together a concise, clear sign to be used at venues as the ordinance provides for. So I would strongly encourage you to allow 60 to 90 days for this to go into effect. You can do this, even if we are not home rule, we can do this. And I do encourage you to do your further study of single-use plastic bags. We do have, I have mixed emotions about the prohibitions. I will freely admit, I absolutely hate it in Oak Park when you do sudden purchase. You know, you go into a store, you stop by Trader Joe's and you buy something there, and then you have to pay for a bag. I don't think that is really, I know this will make some people surprised, but I don't think it's really a big deal. As long as the bags are recyclable, I don't see the problem. The problem may be that people aren't recycling them. I don't know, but it warrants the further study that you've put here in Section 3, and I applaud you for taking the time to reflect upon it and study it thoroughly. So that's basically it. I hope you will make these changes and certainly eliminate the paragraph E that excludes drive-through facilities. We are not Chicago. We don't have that many of them. And I do not think it would be a burden on them. Plus it will, in the end, save them money and enhance their profits. Thanks very much for the opportunity to address you.
Dan, thank you so much for the free copywriting and your subject matter expertise on that. That's really appreciated. Thank you. Is there other public comments? Are you guys here to comment on the ordinance? Okay, great. Anybody on Zoom? So if we're done with comments on the ordinance, we'll just open up to other public comments if you're here to speak about anything. If not, you can just hang out.
For sure.
Okay, great. We thank everybody again for giving us part of your evening to give us really valuable feedback. That's much appreciated. Thank you, everybody. Stay on topic or okay. If anybody wants to jump off, you can as well, because we'll go into the regular meeting now. So we're gonna do adoption of meeting minutes. Is there any feedback on the meeting minutes, corrections? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Can I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from last month?
Motion to approve.
Can I have a second, please?
Second.
I'm sorry, who seconded?
I did. Beth did.
It was Beth. Yeah. Thanks, Beth.
Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Commissioner Chang?
Yes.
Commissioner McLean?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to jump into commissioner reports. In progress.
Sorry, I'm muted.
No problem. Okay, we're going to go into commissioner reports, and I'm going to pick on those on Zoom. Beth, do you have anything for us?
Oops. Are you guys getting echo? I think that's got to be somebody in the room.
It's a mute.
Okay, try again. So at the last meeting, we talked about starting to look into tree ordinances. So I only have a brief update to say that I have reached out both to the Chicago Region Trees Initiative and my contacts at Openlands. And basically I have a link to a collection of municipal ordinances available through CRTI. I have not reviewed them yet, but that's the progress I've made so far, and we can bring it back at a later meeting. And I think my only other report, I guess like many of you, I was at the last board meeting, and I want to congratulate Jeff and Eric and Sarah on shepherding through the change of the solar zoning amendment changes so that we can get the silver designation. That was very well done. And about the waste contract, I'm glad to see that we will be moving forward with it. And I just want to comment that should there in the future ever be a desire to put on a special waste or recycling event, I would hope and request that, you know, that be put together in consultation with the commission. And for the compost piece, what I would love to see at a future meeting is some baseline data on the, you know, just a refresher on the compost usage, how many residents, you know, the pounds, all that kind of stuff, so that we can carry out our responsibility under the contract to review and continue to develop the compost program. I think it says in the contract something like an annual review, but we could certainly look at it before then and just try to better understand things. So, yep, that's it for me.
Thanks, Beth. Jeff?
I don't have too much to add. Thank you for that, Beth. And yeah, I thought it went well at the village meeting. It wasn't totally clear to me based on what they approved if there's a further action for us to undertake there. But I guess procedural, if there's anything else that we need to do, let me know.
Yeah, no, as far as the commission, your piece is sort of done here, and it will go to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a public hearing and recommendation, and then it will come back to the village.
Give us a heads up when that is.
Yes. I don't have a timeline.
No, yet. But yeah, yes, when you know, mm-hmm. That'd be great. All right, thanks, Jeff. Carrie?
Is this on? Okay. I did a little sampling for Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family. And I went around and to see who, if the signs were up. And it was sorely lacking. And I get zero response last year on any email letters that I send out. A very small, like maybe five people send something back. So I feel as if the database that I have, which is about 80 maybe, is absolutely out of date. So I don't know what the procedure would be to target and send a letter to those addresses and see if they, I do get some comments like we're not there anymore, but people move and they're just, the signs are just not out. So I don't know how to go about making that more up to date. But, and so I don't know what I can do, you know, just as a person running, doing this, or what, you know, I can do being on the village. So I just need some guidance as to what I can do, because outside of me hand delivering a letter to everybody, nobody responds to me via email unless there's like, take me off the list. So, and when I see the small sampling that I did, the signs are not on the front lawns. So I don't know where to go from here with that, but it should be kind of up to date. So, because that's further, I've been doing more research on the No Mow May, and I didn't know if that could somehow be tied in if you are actually a member being involved in the Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family, because then we know that you're not throwing pesticides on the lawn. So I sort of wanted to see how I can clean this up. And so I just need guidance, really, on that.
I'm trying to think of what we did when we originally started the program. I don't know, Beth, I don't know if you remember, or Susan even.
Well, there was a form that you had to fill out. But I have a quick question. I know this is not sort of discussion time, but Carrie, when you send the email out, what address does it go from?
It goes from the database that I have. Oh, from, you mean from me?
Is it from you? Or?
Oh, no. I worked that out. I didn't know. I mean, I can access the Sustainability Committee email. So it goes from there.
Okay. From our Gmail.
From the Gmail account, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think it's some kind of like tactical issue because I have to say that I don't remember getting such an email, right? But I could, I'm as guilty any time in the recent past. and same, I'm as guilty as the next person of not reading all of my emails. So, you know, but one, I want to make sure there's not some kind of technical issue. And then, yeah, it's like, it's a tactical thing, I guess, and I'm not sure I have a solution off the top of my head.
Well, I just wanted to put that out there because typically in May is when I send this letter out. So if we need to discuss this further, because it has not gone out, and so I'm stymied. I don't know what to do.
So let's test it. So we at least know, you know, just add a bunch of us, send it, make sure it works, make sure, like, I mean, nobody really looks after that Gmail account either, you know, so that might be a good idea to do. And that it almost feels like we need a little bit of like a do-over on this program. So
I've been thinking about what to do with it and how to keep it current or have people be, you know, I mean, they sign up for it, actually be doing something about it. So,
right.
But I know we're not supposed to, you know, we don't have to discuss it now. I just don't know who I should discuss it with.
Well, let's,
if it's you or if it's, you know, but I need some direction on
it. Yeah, we can talk about it and we should probably add it to an agenda as well. I mean, it's May, so we should probably talk about it right away, right? Because
yeah.
You want to send out that letter. I mean, from what I recall from like way back is, There was a big push. There was like a bunch of messaging that came through the village channels. There was some grassroots from that original commission, you know, like knocking on doors kind of stuff. I don't think we need to take it that far, but it feels like we need to kind of like go back, you know, start from square one.
That's fine. We can, you
push
know,
it.
I don't want to take time out.
No, this is actually, this is important though, because this is like a program that's always been successful and something we've always wanted to grow. So it is something that's important to talk about. So adding it to the June agenda is almost too late. So, you know, as long as we don't break the meeting rules, why don't we like talk offline right away and then we can pull in experts on the commission. Hey, Lisa, do you recall any kind of historical context on this?
We used to send an email out and then we would, I don't know if we can quickly pull together any sort of seminar at the library, because we used to do that. I mean, the whole thing started actually as part of Green Block Parties, which has been dormant for a while. And it also lost its, you know, we did Green Block Parties for a couple of years with that messaging and that got old. Hence our moving on to other things. So I do think it's a combination of email, the email newsletter that the village sends out, social media, and then if we could do something at the library. I mean, I think it is that multimedia approach.
And we did all three of those things last year too. And it didn't generate new people. So it's an important thing. You know, it's a good thing to be involved with. So
it is. And like you said, it then gives us a database of people we can then talk about no Mo May. And like these are people that are going to be interested in numerous programs that we do. So this is important. We'll make sure to add it to an agenda and then we can talk. Good.
Okay, I got a couple of things. I attended the Planet Green in April, and I guess the one of greatest relevance for River Forest is that, I don't know if this is Planet Green or, well, I guess this is Planet Green. They're working out an energy roadmap, which is looking at energy data from 2010 to 2019 and helping institutions. And so I'm meeting with Dominican University with Gary Coonan next week, and I'm hoping that this will be one of the topics of using Dominican as one of the pilot institutions that are participating in this. And there is intern support from Seven Generations Ahead, so that would be a great thing. The Village of Oak Park presented their draft climate plan last night at the Village Board meeting, and we're going to be providing comment to that. Well, that will be made available on the 13th of May, and the next meeting we will provide public comment on that. I reached out to Carla Sloan at township to see how we could best reach seniors who might not be as active on social media, since a lot of our promoting of our programs is on social media. So we talked about some different options and the possibility of doing a presentation in the fall to talk about a bunch of things, including community solar. I wanted to comment on the, this is from the board meeting last night, the ordinance on water and sewer rates. The way that they're presented, I think there's one issue that lacks transparency, and that is that there is a minimum charge of 300 cubic feet. And the reason I'm bringing this up in the Sustainability Commission meeting is that, you know, I think if you want people to reduce their use of water, and that is one of our metrics that we're measuring, by, you know, having a base rate that includes 300 cubic feet, you know, even if you only use less than 100 cubic feet, as I routinely do, you know, at the very least, it's a lack of transparency, because as I was reducing my water rate consumption, I couldn't figure out why my rate wasn't going down. And so, at the very least, that should be stated. But, you know, it makes a person using less than 100 cubic feet paying three times as much for their water. And then I think looking forward, we should have rates both for waste, for water, which provides some type of a financial incentive for people to cut back and not punishing them in terms of a higher. Also in the tree ordinance, which Beth mentioned, I also what's available on the internet, reached out to the Chicago Regional Tree Initiative to see their tree preservation ordinance templates. And their feeling is that an effective preservation ordinance is based on an urban forest management plan. So I started reading through that. The good news is that River Forest has a tree inventory, which is the first step in that, as well as a rudimentary tree management plan. So I just need to reach out to Sarah, to work with Sarah, and see how can we best build on that initial piece, with, because it's, you know, it's a very long document and would be very time consuming for Public Works to do on their own. So happy to help there, as Beth has said. And yeah, that's it.
Awesome. There's a lot there we have to dig into, though. the water thing is fascinating, because that's kind of the next big frontier on what we're going to have to tackle, and that's the fact that there's no incentive at all. I'm sure it's a budgeting issue, so we got to get in front of that.
Just to build on that, if it is a budgeting issue, a better way to get at it would be to have a hookup rate, which is a fixed amount, and then a water rate. But just to fold it all in, yeah. And I think further, the way it's reported is in terms of, like, you know, you get a 1, 2, 3. Are my numbers. I'm sure the people have higher numbers, but I think it'd be better to actually give the rate. So, you know, there's a big difference if you're consuming 210 versus 290. So, you know, again, just more transparency, just so that the person who's doing it can sort of track any progress, because it's very hard to tell the way it's reported right now.
Thank you. Ellie? Yep.
I unfortunately don't have anything to report.
All right.
Just a comment about the tree research. I do think there's definitely an educational opportunity here, something that could maybe be incorporated into like an e-news article about like how to properly care for trees. As far as the regulatory side, we do still need to have some internal discussions about that. So I would just suggest holding off on doing too much independent research before I can give you some more definitive direction on that.
So I just want to clarify. So you forwarded the, you know, did you forward what I sent you? Yep. And so you're discussing it.
Okay.
So we'll just wait to hear back.
Lisa, anything to add?
No, the only thing I would add, and this is like a new thing that I've just found out, is about multiple canoeing, which is like the new thing, and making sure that and this is something that, by the way, many of the lawn care services are now doing, is they're putting the mulch up against the trees and it looks very nice and we're suffocating the trees. So education related to the proper application of mulch against trees is something that we should include in our ongoing outreach.
Yeah, I just wrote, based on the information that you sent, I just wrote a post about that for next week's weekly e-newsletter, and it's going to be about why your mulch should look like a donut and not a volcano. And Sarah's, helping out. But I will say that I was been riding my bike up and down, and a lot of the parkway trees have the volcano mulching. So I think, Sarah, my question is, who's doing that? Is that like homeowners who have landscapers come in who do that on the parkway trees, or can our forestry department go through and make sure to, fix it? I think I called in a particular one on my block and, I know the forestry team has a lot to do besides just drive up and down and change people's mulch. But, one of the points that I make in the write-up is if you see it, fix it. Just fix it. It's not hard, right? You just go and pull the mulch away and make it look like a donut, or contact your landscaper. Or I think I put a question in there, Sarah, for you about if it's a parkway tree, if we want to direct them to contact somebody in the village about it.
Yep. And I changed that to just submitting a service request.
Okay. Perfect. Great.
I don't think our forestry department doing that mulching. I think it probably is the homeowners, but I'll double check.
It is actually the homeowners. And so that leads me to, and it's usually that the lawn services of the homeowners. So I would expect, is there a way to send notification to all of the certified lawn care services to let them know that we respectfully request that they do not, that they mulch the right way?
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable that landscaping companies don't know it, but I tried to squeeze into the write-up the why, right? Like, why? Because the purpose of mulch is to cover the soil and improve retention of moisture, improve the condition of the soil, and if you pile it up against the trunk, then you'll lead to trunk, decay, things like that. So people need to understand why the mulch is there. And then it's easier to remember not to do it that way.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I honestly just think it's one of those things that 2 years ago, people weren't talking about. So I don't think this is a new thing. I just think we've all now realized it's a bad thing to do. So I just think, to your point, it's education and evangelize what's happening. And I think part of it is telling our residents, but also telling the businesses in town that are inadvertently doing it until we hear otherwise.
And unlike many of our problems, it's an easy fix, really.
Well, this will be our first time even educating at all on this. So Lisa, anything else? You're good?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to move on to number 5 on our agenda, which is continued discussion, and if we can get to it, a recommendation regarding the draft single-use plastic in Places of Eden ordinance. So just real quickly, as kind of a point of order, we ideally would get this done for the May 23rd trustees meeting. So that is our goal, obviously not at the expense of having a poorly worded or executed ordinance, but that is our goal. So if we can get this done, the trustees will have it on their agenda for the 23rd, and this could be something that goes into effect shortly after that. So let's talk about straws. I don't feel totally comfortable talking about why straws are exempted in these ordinances, except maybe that's, outside of Starbucks, who has, done a new top for their beverages so that you can drink out of it, that people you know, if you go to McDonald's, it's hard to drink out of a mm-hmm. out of a beverage if you don't have a straw. I haven't researched this at all, so I don't know if you guys have other thoughts or other things that you've read that perhaps why straws were exempted from this. And Dan offered that it's probably just pressure also from the fast food community was probably part of why it's in the Chicago ordinance, but.
I don't think it really matters. I mean, we're suggesting an ordinance for our village. I think we should just be worked off of it, but I agree with everyone who spoke. I think it should be included. Nobody's banning it. They're just saying you have to ask for it. I mean, I routinely say no straw, but you have to get it out before they put it in there, or then, you know, I see. Just means like everything else, you have to ask for it. I don't need to treat it any different.
I just want to make a general comment. I think we, as the Sustainability Committee, need to, even if our recommendation is strong, I mean, we should be doing what we think is what's best for the environment. I think that's our role here. The village board can change it or not agree with us, but we are not vote, you know, we're not public people. We are the Sustainability Committee. And I agree with what Phyllis said, and I agree with what Dan said, and I agree with what the other ladies said. And even if this ordinance says something like, we would, you know, hope that our establishments would not use plastic bags. You know, think about that. You know, I mean, we could just ask them to maybe on their own not do it instead of the state of Illinois needing a law passed. You know, I mean, this could be an opportunity to just say, please think about not using them.
Right, and styrofoam and, you know, all the other things that were mentioned. Yeah, Carrie, that's well said. Ellie?
I think that it's definitely possible to introduce this to the restaurants as in, like, an appealing way to them. Similarly to when we did Veg Out, we didn't really introduce it as a project by the Sustainability Committee. It was, this is an opportunity to advertise your business and, like, having the public limit some of the products that they consume that are of no cost right now would save money for the restaurants. So even if it means maybe changing the taps, not saying that we have any control over what McDonald's does, but, like, in small business areas, if it means changing the taps on their to-go drinks, then if it ultimately saves them money, even if they don't really care about the Sustainability Committee, I feel like it would be appealing to them.
So, you know, one just question also, rhetorical, is if we make changes to this, do we have an obligation to reach back out to the restaurant community to inform them of changes we're suggesting? So.
I don't know. I would leave that up to Sarah, but I would be curious whether anybody, you know, contacted her about this or said they couldn't make it tonight or something. But I would say that the fact that we don't have, you know, anybody from the business community here, you know, raising big concerns about it, I think they've been given their opportunity for public comment. And, you know, so there are other comments here tonight and we can take those into consideration. And I don't feel like we have to wait for another round. They can always comment at the village board level too. There would be another opportunity. I basically agree with everything that has been said. I think that we should actually all the public comments made complete sense to me. So I think we should just make those changes that were recommended. I can't say I'm educated enough to suggest further changes. I don't know if in an ordinance you can really say, well, here's this ordinance encouraging you to do something, because the whole purpose of an ordinance, I think, is to say this is something that must be done. But again, I look to Sarah and the village attorney for guidance on that.
And there are no consequences, are there, for not following this ordinance?
No. So, well, there are. If anybody who violates the village code would be subject to the adjudication procedure.
Any village code.
Exactly.
And then, right. So first, you know, we say we receive a complaint, then we investigate the complaint. We would typically issue a warning before we and give someone an opportunity to correct it before we issue citation.
You know, there's teeth-ish.
But it also highlights that, you know, everybody here, everybody that's interested, we have to be reported because it's not, you know, otherwise it won't have any teeth.
Any other comments that haven't already been said from the commissioners? Let me kind of recap.
I was just going to say, I generally agree sort of with it, what everyone else was saying. I mean, I think that the comments that were brought up are reasonable. I mean, I think there's maybe something a little, I think we'd all, like you said, Eric, would like, this is a step in the process. And I don't know, maybe there's something a little silly about having to ask for a straw when we know that the drink itself will probably have a plastic lid. But I think it's a step in the right direction. And I think if you have to ask for a straw, that's not really that asking too much.
I just take off the lid. I mean, that's not hard.
But most people don't, though. So to be fair, like.
But there are paper straws. And
there are, but there's a cost to that. And, you know, and there's issues with, I'm just playing devil's advocate because the business community is not here. Right. So. You know, I'm trying to think of, you know, I think the small local businesses are gonna have no problem with this. I think the chain, this is tougher, right? Because they have procedures, you know, for them to adjust for one of their 800,000 stores is always a little bit challenging. And the lid, if you think about like the McDonald's kind of example, the lid and the straw are essentially like one unit, right? It's like a lid with a straw hole in it. I'm not at all opposed to, like, I love what you guys are saying with, like, our job, Carrie, what you said. You know, our job is to give the perspective from a sustainability standpoint. If the Board of Trustees wants to make adjustments to it, great. That's they're the ones who vote on this. They're the ones who ultimately pass it. So I totally respect that, and I subscribe to that, too.
The one thing I want to point out, too, I think we have one drive-through in the village, which is McDonald's.
Yeah, you're right. There's not really.
And I don't know how California handles. I'm sure they've addressed the straw issue, haven't they? And there are McDonald's in California. So as a company, I mean, one in River Forest, but.
So let me quickly recap kind of the feedback that I wrote down in my scratchy notes, so you guys will have to help me with this. So Phyllis had, you know, great feedback, which, you know, she essentially supported it. She'd like us to go further. She was not for exempting drive-in windows, straws, styrofoam, and she wanted to see an education component. All right, so from a language standpoint, you know, straws, styrofoam, if there's a way for us to write into this, what one of the commissioners said, which is, you know, that we recommend that this local business community, you know, gets away from using non-recyclable, non-reusable materials like polyesterine, like, you know, plastic bags, things like that. That would be great to work into that. Kathy also was, you know, for the no straws. Dan had some what I thought were really good language adjustments. The name of the ordinance to begin with, plastics to foodware, greater than 170 degree change. He offered the suggestion of making it paper straws. As being exempt, not plastic straws. He was for not excluding drive-thrus. And then he also suggested that there's a 60 or 90 day clause that after adoption by the village board, there's either a 60 or 90 day period before it goes into effect to give time for the village to make any adjustments, give time for education, and give proper communication to the business community and things like that.
You know, I thought that was a great suggestion, Dan. Thank you for that, too. And as far as the education piece, you're right. We can't write it in an ordinance. But in that education piece, maybe the letter that goes out to them, you know, we say further, if you, you know, not using single-use plastic bags. The reality of plastic and recycling is that plastic does not get recycled, period. It is not really a recyclable product. It just is not.
And then, you know, plastic bags, I'm not sure what to do with except to make it an educational piece. We certainly cannot ban plastic bags or we do not, there was real complications with having plastic bags be a request-only item when it came to a lot of the businesses in town, like your CVSs and Walgreens and stuff that actually fall into this because they have food, even though that's not their primary business, it becomes very complicated. So my suggestion, at least, is that we handle plastic bags currently as maybe part of the education piece, as Carrie implied. And then, you know, obviously we have intentions and desires to handle plastic bags in future ordinances. Did I miss anything?
I don't know a lot about ordinances, but could we write something like, and reduce the use of bags and styrofoam? I don't know if there's any, teeth or enforcement, but you know, what kills me is when, you know, they're putting things in two bags and, you know, just all of this overkill. It's like
the jewel effect where I get three thick plastic bags.
Right. Just give me one bag. I don't know.
Go ahead, Ellie.
I don't know if that's possible.
Do we have any power as a committee to request that they maybe even like add a paper option? Or have rules about when they can use multiple bags for one product? Or would they just not, would they be able to just ignore it?
I think it's less that they, you know, that they would ignore it. It's just what, how much do we actually want to tell businesses to do? So it's more kind of trying to thread the needle of being respectful to the business community and their business decisions, and us as a sustainability commission trying to put good policy in place and try to, you know, achieve our goals as a community from a sustainability standpoint. I think that's stuff, you know, we'll tackle in future ordinances and things like that. Okay, so I'm not sure, Sarah, how there's like a, I don't think we can vote on anything because there's kind of a little bit of a rewrite that we would need to work with the village attorney on.
You know, I think, I guess I would need to know, is everyone for the all of the changes that you...
So could we vote on the changes and then the village attorney can figure out how those go or not go into the ordinance?
Then the other thing we could do is call a special meeting if needed, just to...
So we might need to do that, guys. I don't know if you heard Sarah on that, but so what we'll do is we'll vote on recommending these changes. The changes will be made, but then we're going to probably have to have a special session.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, our agenda said a recommendation regarding this draft. So if this draft goes to the village board along with our recommendations, then they would send it to the attorney if they're voting on those recommendations or not.
So
we're not saying a yay or nay to this. We're recommending something on this draft.
That's true. Although I think we are going to say yay to that with these changes. So we're kind of doing both, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that it will be much cleaner, I think. I mean, I'll look to Sarah on this. If we make a recommendation on an actual draft, not like here's this draft plus these six things, right? We should, as Eric said, get those things incorporated and then so the board can just be looking at one document.
Yeah, ideally the trustees would get a clean document with our changes in it so that they could actually vote. Because if not, then they're going to have to get it rewritten and that'll push us a month on this. So so can I make a motion?
Yes. And then so what I would just suggest is to make a motion to approve the ordinance with the recommended changes, take a vote on that, and then I'll take that back to the village attorney and see if we do need to have some sort of.
Could it be done via like email too? Like if we get it or you have to meet?
We do have to
meet. Okay. We do have to meet, but it could be we all be on Zoom.
Probably Zoom.
Yeah, it just has to be, you know, a public meeting.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion to approve current ordinance with recommended changes. You want me to list the changes?
Yes.
No. Yeah, I think you should say them.
Okay. I don't have specific things on Dan's changes as far as where they sit. So the changes that we are recommending are
the title,
changing the title from plastics to foodware.
Or food, we could say foodware plastics.
Yeah, I think you have to say foodware plastics.
Foodware plastics.
Agreed.
Lisa.
Actually, you know what? As I'm reading through, all these things are not plastic. Like a cup sleeve.
I think foodware is fine.
We should say foodware because it's
okay. Foodware. And number two, I'm now looking in the. Give me a second.
Paper straws on page three instead of straws. In the exclusion.
Well, no? Do not include plastic straws. Or wait.
So let me just. If it's
not
okay, let me.
Paper straws.
So we don't lose track of this. Let me go in order because there was the 170 degree thing first. In section 2A, change the language instead of in excess of 170 degrees, greater than 170 degrees. Okay, and guys, you were looking at the paper straws. Where's that?
That's before that.
It is before that because it's in the third paragraph. It says, but excluding, either say excluding paper straws or we could take that out.
Amendment 1 that starts on page 2 and is at the top of page. Oh, it's over there too.
Yeah, it's on the
third paragraph.
So it says, you mean where it says single-use foodware does not include?
So it's the third paragraph where it says whereas, and towards the bottom it says but excluding straws, beverage, or items used to contain or package.
It would be excluding paper straws.
So change the language to adding the word paper in front of straws.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to remove the exclusion for drive-through?
Yes.
In section 7, you would like to add that after adoption by the village board, this goes into effect after 60 days.
60 days.
And village manager can give us advice if they want it greater. And then we are also suggesting, and we'll leave that to the village attorney on where. That we add language encouraging businesses to reduce or remove excess packaging, use of styrofoam, and use of plastic bags.
I just have some suggested languages.
Yeah,
is make every effort to reduce the use of plastic bags and styrofoam.
Make every effort to reduce the use of those things we just listed. That was like a super hairy motion.
You're a second.
Second.
All right. Are you like in a position where you can reread that? Can you?
Yep.
All right.
Okay, so Chairperson Simon made a motion seconded by Commissioner Charette to approve the ordinance with the following changes. Changing the title from plastic to foodware, changing in excess of 170 degrees to greater than 170 degrees, excluding adding the word paper to straws under exclusions, removing the exclusion for drive-through, goes into effect after 60 days once approved or adopted by the village board, and including language that states make every effort to reduce the use of plastic bags, excess packaging, and styrofoam.
Okay, can we have a, we already have a second for Susan, so let's go ahead and vote. Dan, what I do want to add to this is the part on how awesome Sarah is, but I'm not sure that fits into this ordinance. Yeah, okay, we're going to do an ordinance next time on Sarah. Right, we're going to do a vote.
Yeah. Chairperson Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
Commissioner McLean.
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
All right, motion passes. So, Lisa, we're sending some stuff down your way. Up your way, rather.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Special thanks to everybody for getting through my, trying to put that together. All right. Nicely done. Thanks again to anybody who's still on that offered suggestions on this. So let's keep rolling since we have a few more agenda items to get through. Number six is introduction to EV readiness program.
So the EV readiness program is somewhat similar to Soul Smart in that the purpose is to reduce barriers to EV adoption to meet the growing demand for EVs and charging stations. So the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus is a really great partner to have on this. And I did already complete the expression of interest form to join a cohort later this fall. The program provides municipalities with resources such as technical assistance and sample policies, as well as guidance on funding opportunities. I did also reach out to Edith at MMC to see what some of the next steps are for us. I just haven't had a chance to connect with her yet, so I will update the commission when I have more information and some next steps. There's really no action right now.
So the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus had a meeting last week. Where they introduced this, and as they usually do, they put together a lot of resources. As you guys remember, the latest round of legislation has money for EV charging infrastructure. Jeff had reported on that a couple meetings ago. So the combination of the MMC really getting organized around this and the availability of money makes this like a really great time for us to consider some significant EV projects. So we'll get involved with the MMC process. Sarah, thanks for getting us hooked up, and we'll go from there. I know Maggie Clancy is a subject matter expert on electrified transportation, so she can help. And then any other commissioners, kind of when we get to that point of having something to do that want to work on this, that would be awesome.
I just have two comments. I said that I keep track of the EV numbers that's published by the state by zip code. So currently being the end of April, there were 123 electric vehicles in River Forest. That represents a 29% increase over last year, same period of time. And if ownership continued to grow at this rate, it would double to 246 in 2.5 years. Where we are in our current path. And then I guess the second one is just a question to the village. Were there any plans in the current budget to begin to electrify the village fleet?
So we do have, there's two things. So the first is that we do have funding set aside for like an EV station network plan that we can start to introduce EVs in other areas of town. Or, I'm sorry, EV charging stations in other areas of town. And then as far as the fleet, we're still looking into that. One of the vehicles that would be the first option for that would be the administrative vehicle. It's kind of like our building department inspection. So that would be the first slated one.
Is that in the budget or this is still just?
It's
not ready for replacement yet.
It's still in the planning stages. I have actually pushed the police commissioner with regard to EV vehicles for police, and it's still really expensive. So until the cost comes down, it's just not something that the village can afford. But it is something that is top of mind for the police. And again, I think as Sarah said, it's also the first thing would be to do it for administrative vehicles where it's cheaper. Where it's going to be the longest, way in the future would be for public works vehicles. So any electrified like dump truck or
utility vehicles. Yeah.
Exactly.
Not quite
exactly.
there yet.
Exactly, but
right. So cars first, but it, you know, at the same time, technology is changing on a daily basis. So you know, as soon as trucks are both affordable as well as reliable, like we'll after that. We learned when we first talked about this a couple years ago, we brought up the same thing, Susan, like, you know, there's not a lot of turnover of village vehicles.
Don't go very far. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So which probably puts more pressure on us to like when there is one that comes up, like we need to get on it or it's going to be another 5 years plus before we can do that again. Mm-hmm. There's just, you know, driving a village vehicle around River Forest, like in a year, like, you know, you get like 7 miles on the car. We need to become a bigger village so that we can have more mileage.
Just to make a comment on the police cars. So I noticed in some of my budget readings that the police cars are replaced every 3 years. And I wondered, would it be possible, this is sort of for Lisa, to introduce a conversation about if that can be extended to 4 years, getting back to Eric's point about we are a pretty small village and it's hard to imagine that very much mileage could be put on in 3 years. So could there be a trade-off between extending for 1 year the life cycle of the police cars and in exchange for that begin to electrify the force? So just introduce that as an idea, obviously not something that's going to be decided tonight, but life is trade-offs and maybe that's
there are lots of Tesla Model 3s that you can buy a police package for Tesla Model. You Google it, there's a bunch of communities that have done it. So
yeah, but I would just say that like we are actually a really, and again Sarah, I defer to you so you can totally, but we are a very fiscally responsible community, and if we can get a fourth year out of a car, we're going to do it. I mean, we are not, we don't just look at the, well, it's 3 years, let's buy another one. I think we look at, do we really need to replace it? And then we do. So I would look at all that stuff on a, like in terms of the rules on a relative scale. I mean, again, I was really quite pleased with the police commissioners, you know, embracing like EV vehicles, first of all, and secondly, being, again, very responsible for when it makes sense to replace a car.
Great. All right. Any more comments on EV readiness program? All right, Beth, I think we cut you short last meeting on your agenda items, so the floor is yours.
Thanks. Try not to keep everybody too late. So I'm actually going to flip the two items on the agenda, and let's just do the communications calendar first, because hopefully everybody's getting used to this by now. I want to run through the monthly write-ups first. Hopefully you all got to read the bicycling write-up that just came out last week, which I had some fun putting together. Maggie has already completed and turned in the June write-up about actually electrifying school buses with a nice River Forest connection by highlighting the work that she as a resident and and River Forest Sustainability Commissioner is doing. And in fact, Sarah, I just remembered that I forgot to suggest that you put that in about her. She didn't say that herself. She just said she was a resident, but if you didn't already do it in your edits, I would definitely put in that she is a commissioner. And I know that Jeff is working on the rooftop solar piece for July. Then I forget the due date, but it's sometime in June, mid-June. So what I want to talk about is the monthly calendar for the rest of the year and make sure we have people assigned to write things. For August and September, we had previously talked about highlighting a local business with sustainable practices for August. But if this single-use foodware ordinance goes through at the end of May with the 60-day implementation, then it seems ripe to do something in August about it. And what I would like to ask is for someone to volunteer to write it, because whether the ordinance passes or not, I think it's clear from our discussion that, you know, it's a topic that we want to educate people about, you know, why to do it and all of that. So who's feeling passionate about this? It's not a heavy lift, really. It's only like 250 to 300 words.
Beth, what would be the take on it if we are not a business? I mean,
well, the take would be, assuming that the ordinance passes, the take would be explaining the ordinance and why it has been passed and, you know, trying to educate residents about it.
I just, when you said if it doesn't pass, so.
Oh, well, if it doesn't pass, I think that, you know, we can still be educating our residents. They could just start asking not to receive those things. You know, it can just be something about single use foodware and plastic. I think there's room to shape it, right? But we'll know at the end of May whether this passes or not. And then there's still plenty of time because it wouldn't be due until mid-July. And if for some reason it doesn't pass and it's going to take another month, then I also want to ask for somebody to take on highlighting a local business with sustainable practices, because that's not time sensitive. So the piece can be put together, and if it needs to be flipped and put in August so the plastics one can run in September, you know, that would work as well. And I know Carrie's already signed up to do the October one.
Yeah, I'm happy to take that August one, Beth.
The one about the single-use foodware and plastics? Perfect. Okay, and thanks, Eric. Who would like to tackle the local business? This should be like a fun little feature piece, you know. Someone had suggested Little Bits Workshop, and, you know, the village does a great job of highlighting local businesses, and this would be kind of a fun one. Just go interview the owner, maybe take some pictures and ask them how they approach sustainability. Ellie, would you possibly be interested in taking that on?
I was just pressing my microphone. Yes.
Yay! I think this is a fun one.
Yeah, it's a fun one. So I would just get started on it anytime in case it needs to run in August. It would be a mid-July due date. Okay, so we'll do November and December next time. And then real quickly, as far as the monthlies go, the weekly ones, I'm sorry, later in May, it seems like from the discussion that this week's is going to be the tree mulch one. And then the two that I would suggest for May is I'd like to, now that we have these great new options, you know, under the new waste contract, and I know there's been like a general article about it, but I think one specifically promoting compost sign up would be great. And then the healthy lawn, we can do a write up about it, Carrie. I think I was thinking about it, which we want to promote renewal or sign up. But what I don't know is in the email that you were sending, is there a link to a form? Like, how do people take action?
Well, the one that I did in March did have a link.
Okay, so.
Yeah, it linked to the actual application.
Okay, so I would say whatever you had in the email, you know, if you can repackage it as a, you know, what is it, like a 200-word type thing with the link to the form, certainly we can still talk about if you're going to do a letter or something else, but we'd at a minimum, we can certainly put it in the e-newsletter. And I would say it's up to you whether you want that to run next week or 2 weeks from now. And I'm thinking maybe you want 2 weeks from now so that you and Eric have a chance to talk about anything.
That's fine. Neat. What's the deadline for that? Did I miss the deadline on the last one? Was I too late for whatever that
I don't think so.
Deadline's moved a little bit. I was also confused.
I had a deadline on my calendar with Earth Day, and then I think it was like the day before Earth Day.
I think we got it in.
Okay. Because I was like, wait a minute. Because on my calendar, I don't do it. So what's the deadline for that?
Well, for the weekly ones, it's 8 a.m. Monday, the week that it's going to run. So for some reason, I don't have my phone in front of me. So Sarah, can you just help me out with what the actual calendar date would be? I can do the compost one to run next week. So that would be, I think, May 16th. And then your deadline would be
May 23rd.
The 23rd, I think, mm-hmm. at 8 a.m. Okay, great. So that's all the time I'm going to take on that because we'll do June next month. And I know this always takes like 5 or 10 minutes, but like I said, I hope everybody's getting used to it and finds it useful and participatory so everyone feels like they're part of building our story. Okay, so it's 8:19, so I'm going to try to be quick, relatively quick about the website.
Beth, I have a comment before you move on.
Sure.
Moving on. Two things. So one, on the community habitat, you have it listed under the World Wildlife Foundation. It's the National Wildlife, and so that should be a NWF. And the second one is that in reaching out to the township, I found out about the various ways in which they communicate with seniors, and they have both a weekly and a monthly. They have a weekly email and then like more of a monthly newsletter. And I just wondered if we could add them onto this cycle and be sending them. They might not publish absolutely everything, but
I'm sorry, sending to who?
I'll provide that for you if you're willing to do it. It's Betsy Kelly. I'll provide you the thing. But and I just want to point out that because it's the township and the townships work collectively, this would go out to both River Forest and Oak Park. So in a way, it's extending the scope. I mean, we're putting a lot of time into this. We'd extend it out to another group of people, which is a good thing. And we have very complementary programs often. So,
sure. It's a township newsletter. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'll follow through with an email to you. But okay. I just wanted
I mean, once, as you said, once we've written content, it's great if we can get it out further. I don't want to take on writing any new content, but
no. But I'm just saying, again, being mindful of the fact that not all seniors are using social media in the same way. So it's just another way of reaching out to them. And, often people need to see things more than once. It does go out in the newsletter usually. But anyways, I'll follow through on that. But I just wanted to make that comment.
Okay, thanks. All right. So I think what I want to say about the website is I'm going to put up in a second a screen share of kind of a plan, if you will, for revamping the current website that Susan and I have worked on. But I think what I want to say generally about this is I think that the website and how it's organized, like once I sort of share with you the vision that Susan and I had about what the goal and purpose of the website is, I feel like that's what the commission needs to sort of quote unquote sign off on, right? And then we would love to continue to have your input, but in order to be a little more agile in moving, the website is the kind of thing that really the staff ultimately has to execute. So what I want is for us to kind of agree on general direction. And then if there's time, I would definitely love input on some of the particulars. But then I'd like the commission's kind of green light, if you will, for me and Susan to just work with Sarah. It's not the kind of thing that's fixed in stone. If we do something and you really hate it, we could probably change it. But the big kind of overall theme and direction of the website, that's what I feel like the commission needs to agree on. So before I get into the details, Eric and other commissioners, what do you think? Is everybody okay with that?
Yep.
Okay, great. Okay, So this has been in the packet twice, but I don't really know if people, you know, had time to look at it. So I'm actually just going to read the vision and then ask for questions. So the goal of the page might sound kind of obvious, but Susan and I actually talked about it, is we want to help residents figure out how to live more sustainably. And the audience is all of River Forest residents, but everyone has different degrees of motivation and knowledge. And Susan pointed out that she thinks that people who voluntarily seek out the page have higher than average motivation and possibly knowledge. And I thought that was actually a really interesting point, right? Is that people who don't care are not going to go there. So the focus of the content is going to be on sort of how to live sustainably. It's going to be written in action-oriented language. And there will be information about why you should do it, but that's not necessarily going to be the front and center. So I would like to hear some feedback whether people concur with that, because it wasn't actually the way that I originally thought about it. Like, I thought of the website as like a, you know, marketing promotion, you know, making the case kind of thing. But if nobody's going to read it, you know, or if the people are going there are already motivated, then that's not the first thing. It doesn't mean that that wouldn't be there, but it just means, just to avoid the clutter, it would be, here's how to do this, how to do this. And then maybe there would be a link to say, click here, you know, if you want to know why this is important. So I'd love to hear what people think.
Hi, it's Carrie. I agree with that direction.
Okay, great.
When you, I guess, is there, are you, is, do you mean that broadly, like how to live sustainably, or is it more like with like leveraging sort of the programs that we have in place?
Right. Yeah, like if you go down later, the down to the outline, the how to is going to be like, how do you reduce your carbon footprint? How do you waste less? How do you create a green ecosystem? You know, and so the advice and the content is all going to be very practical, right? How do you do these mm-hmm. things?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I agree. I was just thinking if it starts getting, if it's specific, then it might start getting stale. So it just needs a, you know, a plan to, you know, somebody to be on top of it. But I agree with the approach.
Clarify that a little bit. What do you mean? If it's specific, that it might get stale.
Oh, like if it's like very specific advice, 6 months down the road, the program might have changed, or the link might have changed, or the best practices might have changed. So we just need to be mindful that needs to be
right,
either sort of tied with an ongoing program that's kind of constantly yeah. being updated, or just
yeah. I mean, that is an ever-present challenge, right? Is how to keep it up to date. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
In my mind, I was sort of thinking of fun little like graphics or PSAs that mm-hmm. you could dive deeper, but it wouldn't be really, really wordy, right? I mean, you could get wordy somewhere else, but the main things, it's more uplifting, more like, yeah, let's do this.
Well, actually, no, because yes, we want to move in the direction of being, you know, having the layout be graphic and visual. I think we're a little limited what we can do initially with the site, because I have to talk with Sarah about what's really possible. But because the purpose is to give practical tips, you have to use text to give information to people on what to do. Sure, we should cut down the number of words, all this kind of stuff, but it's not intended to be sort of marketing promotion, like, you know, the focus is on the how to rather than the why. And the why would be there as a secondary thing. You know, like if you sort of say, here's how to, here's a really dumb example, right? Is that I have been trying to get my rainbow working for like, I don't know. And I have all these practical problems with it. And so, you know, really dumb things like, you know, how am I going to get the water out? I thought I was going to do it this way, but it's not working out and whatever, right? And I feel like tactical things are a lot of the things that prevent people from doing stuff. I'm trying to plant more natives. I know I even went to like a landscaper on it, but I'm having trouble sourcing the stuff, right? So telling people how they can do these things is what we want to focus on. And then maybe there would be a click through to a longer piece about all of the why this is important and all that kind of thing. Eric, chair, as well, chair.
No, I was just going to say that I know that you're getting sort of general input, but maybe if you scroll down to the specific, then people will see exactly. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, that provides good context.
Yeah, because then they can comment, you know, you're giving your reasonings for doing this, but this is sort of what we had in mind.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so bullet point type things.
Yeah, and you can essentially drill down right into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So in terms of the layout of the page, you know, that was the other section here of the write-up here is that the existing content, I want to eliminate those menu items on the right-hand side, which have become outdated and don't actually even match. And so right now, it would just become that page that you go to would be kind of like a glorified table of contents. And honestly, even this list that Susan and I came up with, I think it's too long. and that we might need to choose and prioritize certain things so that people aren't overwhelmed. But when you go to the sustainability page, yes, the idea is that you would see these topics, right? And then each of the topics you could then click on to get more information. And so the broad categories would be how to reduce your carbon footprint, and all that stuff is mainly about energy. And then how to waste less is going to be, you know, about composting, reducing the stuff we just talked about, avoiding single-use plastics, reusing things, repurposing. I don't know, reuse and repurpose might be able to be combined, recycle. And then there's the third category is how to create a green ecosystem. So this would be about trees, natural lawns, the healthy lawn thing, you know, wildlife habitats, etc. Fourth category is how to conserve and manage water. And, you know, this pretty closely mimics what the commission's original four categories were. I mean, education was always a carry through category, but then I kind of created this section called How River Forests Making a Difference to put all of these things like the strategic plan and the greenhouse inventory, you know, the regional goals. I don't know, this section isn't very well organized, so I don't want to kind of get into the weeds on it, but if you think that when you go to the page right now, a lot of this stuff comes first, which it makes it hard for somebody who's just trying to get to the how-to stuff, right? You just kind of have
my first reaction is that a lot of this costs a lot of money, and so, you know, how can you really, like, you know, I mean, you know, this is one way to organize it, how to reduce your carbon footprint, how to save water, everything like that. But how can, you know, I mean, a lot of these things cost a lot of money. And it takes a lot of planning.
You
and
mean
I wonder if that
individual to do, is that what you mean?
Well, I mean, like, plant a native garden, buy an electric vehicle, put solar on your roof, you know.
Right.
I mean, these are big things.
Right.
But remember when we were kids, or maybe when I was a kid, turn the water off when you brush your teeth. It's like something that you could just do. I mean, there's lots of things that you can just do that really don't cost any money. And I'm sure there's a whole, like, you know, I actually started just brainstorming in my office, you know, like, just writing things out, like what can you just do, you know, that doesn't require you putting a rooftop solar system on your, you know, house.
Mm-hmm.
If I could respond to that, I mean, I see your point, but some of these things save money. So like on the first one, we have switched to renewable. We put rooftop first because that really is, you know, the greenest of the green. Mm-hmm. But as you said, that takes resources and everything else. Community solar actually saves you money. So that's 20%, and it's really easy. And municipal aggregation is also easy, saves the village money.
Sorry.
You could go back to where you were. Then the next one where you say reduce energy usage, this stuff all saves you money. If you have ComEd come in and do an energy efficiency program,
I guarantee your electric bill will go down. If you install LED lights, ComEd actually installs them if they come in. So not only is that free, but then it brings it down. So a lot of these things are free. If you go down to, like, you know, repurpose, reuse, go to the repair cafe instead of buying something new, a lot of these things do save you, and actually you took out refuse, the new one. I'm just going to get my little plug in here because it used to be reduce, reuse, recycle, but now there's five things. And the first one is refuse. And I think that's important to put back in there because that's exactly what our, you know, our single-use plastic is, you know, refuse things that you don't need, even if they're free. Reuse and repurpose are very different because reuse is actually greener because you're using something for the purpose that it was made for. And then repurpose, you're probably using energy or time or additional resources to make it into something else, which is better than recycling or throwing out. But anyway, that's the new thing. It's refuse, reduce, reuse, repurpose.
So we all know I'm not good at marketing, but I mean, all of this, I mean, what if it were like, how can I save money? Or, you know, and, you know, I mean, all this is good information, but like, how, you know, like, this is how you can save money and save the planet.
We could add stars.
Yeah, you can add, I mean, or, no, you know, I mean.
It could be that easy.
Instead of being, I know we're a government, but it's very corporate, but, you know, you want to talk to these families. It's like, what can I do today, right now? I'm sure you know you're a wealth of information. You know a million things.
I think that's a great idea. I think we should have a way to identify the things like these actually save you money. They might take a little bit of time because you're right, someone's going to look at that and it's overwhelming. So that's why we also try to put it out, like, if you want to make a plan, then start at the top. You know, the first thing you do is make sure you have renewable. Well, I would say arguably you'd reduce first, but, you know, get renewable resource, then reduce, because just electrifying everything doesn't solve our problems on a global scale. It has to be a combination of reduction and a but, you know, even if people only got to the first three, that's huge. You know, we are more ambitious and we have other things, but maybe everybody won't get down there. I don't know. I mean, some things save money in the short term. Some save money only when we act collectively as a village and then over the long term would. But
So I think just to kind of clarify what's being said, to paraphrase it maybe. So all these things save money. I think the question was, like, what are free? What's not going to cost me money to do? I think that's where you were originally going.
It was really what's easy.
Okay. So I think, like, what you guys were getting at is, let's identify, like Susan was saying, participating in the ComEd efficiency program is literally free. Like, there's no cost to the resident to do that, and it will save them money. Everything here will save them money, but rooftop solar might cost $20,000 in order to save you money 6-7 years from now. So that's a little bit different, and I think what we're trying to avoid. So maybe it's as simple as just, you know, putting some stupid little icon next to things that are literally free and easy.
Yeah, I mean, we could have one, you know, one sort of code for low cost, and we could have another one for low time. And then, you know, if you're looking through different things, and, you know, you choose, do you have more time or do you have more money? You know,
and right. And one thing would be, are you remodeling? I try to educate people on induction cooktops, but buy a instant hot water heater. I mean, are you remodeling your house? Here's some, you know, have you thought about this?
That's under the electrify.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you organize it in a way, but, you know, maybe it could be organized, you know, in something that speaks to me. Oh, I am thinking about doing a remodel. This is what I can do. Donate your things to the rebuilding exchange. You know, I mean, there's some things that you can just do to save things.
So I think this is really interesting, and that's why in this little vision, I had the sentences saying, in an ideal world, the page content would be divided by sort of persona, which is what you're talking about, Carrie, and present basic versus advanced knowledge to different potential users, right? This would be very cool and really a lot of fun, but I don't know if we can do that at the get-go because it's a lot of work to do that, right? But it would be super cool, right, to essentially have like a thing that says, you know, I don't know, you could have a section for sort of, are you just getting started thinking about sustainability, right? Or are you a power sustainability user? Or, yeah, are you, you know, are you remodeling? Click here. Are you, you know, I don't know. It would take a lot of planning and design to do that well. And I'm actually personally really in favor of that. And so I think it's really important that you brought it up and that we keep it in mind. But if you go and look at the website right now, it is a total mess, right? So my proposed phase one is to just reorganize the existing content. Now, if everybody thinks, and Sarah will have to put in, if she's like, no, that's a waste of time, I don't want to reorganize it, and then like totally redo the whole thing. But I almost think that this is like a two-phase thing. The first phase is just make the current content semi-usable. I don't send people to it right now because it's just too much of a mess, right? And then a phase two would be a more ambitious thing, because what you're talking about just requires, you know, some more time and thoughtfulness to implement it well. And I'm all in favor of it as a long-term vision, but
I think one easy way to incorporate Carrie's comment is that would be a great article. And then we could reference the article on the site, because Beth kind of glossed over this, but there's two parts of this. One is to have sort of like a news component, but have them go somewhere else for that. And so like if this was an article, we could get a lot of mileage out of it because we could put it in a newsletter and then we could have it somewhere accessible through the village and, you know, and have a little thing that say, you know, are you remodeling? Go here. Are you a new homeowner? You know, go here. Maybe get somebody to write an article on that. So I think it's great and we can incorporate it, but yeah, we just might have to be creative about how we did it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a clever way to do it, because that way you're kind of blogging and then pointing people to that versus trying to get this, the, you know, we have limitations with the website, trying to get that behave in a way it's not going to. So Beth's plan is a phased approach, which I think is smart. One thing we can't lose track of is, like, we can ideate on this for hours, but we got to be really realistic about what our limited volunteer commission can actually accomplish. This is something where I read this over in April, so I don't know if there's been changes made to it, Beth.
But,
what I really like about this, too, is if we ever get help, right, like we get an AmeriCorps volunteer or something like that, like we can accelerate any of this the way you guys planned it out.
Or another thing that we talked about was using some of the aggregation money to hire a marketing. But I think it makes sense that we do the reorganizing in our minds and then they add the slickness, because there's no point, you know, paying a high fee to a consultant to say, so how do you want this to look? And to, you know, so we get it all like, this is what we want it to look like. And now, like, you make this look nice, because then there's minimal conversation there. It's just
we do the part we're good at. Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's a great approach. So so what I suggest is, first of all, if there's any more comments on the approach.
Can I just, Eric, very briefly, I know it's getting late, but I do, the thing that Susan said that I glossed over, it is important, because this was Sarah's idea that the site can get so cluttered with the, like, oh, it's One Earth Film Fest now, and it's, you know, the Bicycle Exchange. So things that are time specific, Sarah had proposed that she would put those on the village news page. And all that will happen on the sustainability page is it will, there'll be like a little section on things to do this month, and it'll send you over to the news page. The second section will have all this other stuff that we're talking about, and it's what I call evergreen information, right? Like, it's the way you do rooftop solar. Yes, it's going to change. We have to keep it updated, but it's not something that happens like in April, right? If there's going to be a special or something or an exemption that's running out, then that would get featured on the news page. So just wanted to be sure everyone understood that.
Great.
So yeah, I think what I'm looking for is the kind of consensus from the commission that when Sarah has time, that Susan and I would just start to work with her to see what we can do to improve this along these general lines.
I have one question. Where is the, actually, Laura Behan and there was a committee, there was a student committee that were, they did a lot with the reduce waste. Is that
under, it's under waste, keep going, Beth.
Oops, sorry. Yeah.
Yes. So that would just be the one thing I'd want to make sure that we really like try hard not to lose anything that's there. Like, you know, kind of like maybe, you know, kind of put it to the side and make sure that we really figure out how to use all the great contents there before we eliminate it. Because I know that they did a really great job on, you know, putting forth a like a how-to for reducing.
Okay, is if that's on the current website?
It should be.
Okay, so is Lauren's name associated with it, or no? I don't know. You and I can go on. We can follow up to make sure. You know, this is essentially trying to reorganize what's on the website, right? Not so much to like, there might be.
We're not getting rid of. We're not rewriting the website. We're just reorganizing.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we don't like, you know, inadvertently eliminate anything.
Yeah, well, that can always happen, but you know, we'll try to make sure we keep everything that's relevant. The only thing I would just say is that in the interest of not overwhelming people, you know, we might want to just figure out which things we really want to highlight. But you know, we'll have to work on all those details. And Susan, just before I forget to say it, the reason I changed the refuse thing is that I know when you say it, you're saying refuse, but when it is printed, it looks like refuse. So, or it could be mixed up with that, but you and I can figure out the terminology on that. I understand the concept you're getting at.
Throw it, like step C, throw it all away. any other, Ellie, do you have some feedback?
Yes, I have a brief comment on what Carrie said before. I feel like, especially for some skeptics of sustainability practices, cost is a huge factor. So if we want to appeal to a broader audience with the website, like people who wouldn't usually go out of their way to like keep up with sustainability, I think introducing it separately as ways to save money by being more sustainable would definitely catch the attention of people who wouldn't usually like do this kind of.
Another great article written by Ellie.
Yeah, and I think that messaging stuff is really important, you know, and that's like when we wrote things about the community.
We lost her.
That was a great comment, Ellie. Give her a sec to see if she hops back on. So she was looking for consensus from the commission on
direction.
On the go forward direction. So, and what I'm hearing is I'm hearing all the feedback is just by piling on more ideas to what Beth and Susan and others have done. So. Is there any like concerns about the direction? So what I'd suggest is if you do have individual feedback, like, you know, look over that document. I got to look it over again because it's been a month.
Did everybody get it? Did everybody get
it? It was in the April packet. It was in the May packet as well. Okay, awesome. It sounds like that Sarah put it into this month's packet too. So if you look at the May packet, which is the link in the email, and you have any feedback, just email Beth on that. We have a lot of work ahead of us to kind of start executing on that. But you guys
did a great job. Idea was to make it more action oriented and less like look what we did, because that's not
helpful.
Yeah, the look what we did would be way down at the bottom, so it would still be there, but. No, it's not helpful.
Yeah, we want to change behavior, not laud, you know, what's going on. Great job. Thank you. Okay, we are over time, so.
Hey, Beth.
Was a really inconvenient time for my computer to die.
thanks for not
adjourning without me, but I assume that you said, go ahead.
We did, yeah. There is unanimous agreement on the direction. So thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, great. We didn't get input from like the very most important person here, which is Sarah, but I assume that Sarah will tell me and Susan all about what, is there anything high level you wanted to say, Sarah? I mean, does this seem like on the right track?
No, I think that this is something that can work really well. And I do agree that cleaning up the page is long overdue. So
Okay, so Susan and I will be in touch with you as it fits into your schedule to start implementing.
And Beth, we asked anybody who, you know, who hasn't looked it over lately to look it over. It's in the May packet. And if they have feedback, to email you directly.
Cool.
Awesome. Great job. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks to Susan for being my partner on this.
Partner in crime.
Yep.
Any other business? Okay, our next meeting is June 14th. Can I have a motion?
Have another one?
I'll
follow up.
TBD, right? Probably.
It does. It does need 48 hours, so I would probably be looking at either the 16th or the 18th. It doesn't have to be in the evening, though. It can be for the day.
We'll send out a doodle poll on this.
Yeah. Either the 16th or the 18th, because the board packet goes out on the 19th.
I would be in favor of the evening time, you know, like same 7 o'clock, and it should just be very short, as Eric said.
Yeah, this could be a really quick meeting. Hopefully it is. Look at it and make comments.
I'm going to email the village attorney this evening, and then I'll let you know, hopefully, tomorrow what his direction is if we need to.
Awesome. So the next regular meeting is June 14th, TBD on a special meeting. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
I'll second it.
All right. We are adjourned. Great meeting, everybody. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to everybody soon.
Bye.